This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. Like many of the sports leagues around the world, Major League Soccer is waiting to return to the pitch. While dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, many of its players are stuck inside but still training and working on their game. One of them is the captain of the Red Bulls, Sean Davis.
That'll do it. A day one victory for New York. Dominant at times, scrappy at others. But it's the Red Bulls 3, Cincinnati 2, the opening day final.
Joining us on this edition of Sports Jam, a very unusual Sports Jam to say the least, the captain of the New York Red Bulls, Sean Davis, joins us. Sean, great to talk to you again.
Hey, Doug, great to hear from you, and I really appreciate you having me on.
So we're talking to you from your home in Jersey City, and you, like everybody else, having to deal with the social distancing. First of all, how's your family doing? Everybody safe and healthy?
Yes, thank God, and thanks for asking. I grew up in this area, obviously, and so my parents are close by, but, unfortunately, I haven't been able to spend time with them, trying to be safe. So staying away from them, they are in a little bit of the high risk age group. So we've been in contact pretty much every single day. We FaceTime a lot, but thankfully they're doing well. They're staying home, and my brother's also there to help take care of them. So all things considered, we're in a good situation right now, but thanks again for asking.
And I know that you've been quite active on Twitter talking about the importance of social distancing, staying safe. I know you take your leadership role very seriously as the captain of the Red Bulls. This your first season as captain, and I also know that you've put out some good words about Governor Murphy.
Yes, I've been trying my best to stay on top of all the details, try to stay as informed as possible, and I feel like both Governor Murphy and Governor Cuomo have been great sources of news and updates, so I try to follow that regularly so that I can better inform the guys and better inform the club in general. So just trying to do my part to, protect people, protect our community as much as possible. And so, like you mentioned, I logged on to Twitter for the first time in a long time. I'm just trying to, again, stay in touch with people, connect with people, and try to influence people in the right way, in the best way I know how. So, that's kind of been my mindset since this all started.
Are you getting any inside information about when the MLS could possibly restart? I know nobody really has any idea when this is going to eventually come to a point where people will be allowed back in the stadiums or you'll be allowed to play without fans. Have you heard anything?
Yeah, I wish I could share, some insight, but, I don't have any, special info, but I have been in touch a lot with the MLSPA. We've also actually been able to have some calls with Commissioner Don Garber. And, obviously the main thing right now is to keep everyone as safe and healthy as possible. And so, I don't have any insight, but I will say that they're exploring all options. They're looking at all different types of models and continuing to see how this progresses over time. But hopefully we'll be back on the field sooner rather than later. I know that personally, and I think I speak on behalf of the guys, and I'm sure the fans, the club, that, what I look forward to most is being back, at Red Bull Arena in front of our club, in front of our community. And, that's going to be a really special moment. But until then, we have to be patient and we have to be smart in how we approach things.
I took your virtual tour. And so I got to see a little bit of your home gym and some of the things you like to do. Let's talk about keeping in shape during this time. How difficult is it for you? What's your regimen like?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is that for me, it's really important to stay in a routine. And so as you might have seen in the video, I like to work out really early in the morning. That helps me avoid contact. Jersey City, unfortunately, is a little bit of a hot spot. So it's important to be careful, and especially in a building that I live in, it's very close to New York and there's a lot of people. So, for me, success is getting downstairs without the elevator stopping. And, my best chance of doing that is early in the morning. Fortunately, we have a great fitness coach, Tony Zhao, and, he sends individualized workouts to the guys. We do Zoom calls for group strength sessions. So for example, today we all logged on at 10:30. We had about a 45-minute workout that we ran through with Tony, and he's been great. A lot of the workout equipment that you saw in that video, he's been able to provide, and you know, since then we even got a stationary bike, which I think a lot of guys are excited about. So, you know, we're trying to do everything that we possibly can to stay on top of the small details. So eventually when things get going again, you know, we're able to hit the ground running. But to get back to your question, you know, I like to work out early in the morning. I have that pull-up bar. I have a TRX band, the stationary bike, a few weights. So I like to do that in the morning. And that helps me feel good about the day. You know, it gets me started on the right foot. So that's been really important. And, you know, outside of that, we also have team video calls for film sessions. So we'll divide it into different groups. You know, we'll have an attackers meeting. We'll have a defenders meeting. And fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, the center midfielders or the sixes, they're involved in both. So we double up on the video. We also have our own video session with just the sixes, which includes, you know, myself, Mark Schakowsky, Christian Caceres, Chris Lemma. And those are all really helpful for us. And, you know, we're able to not only look at our film from earlier in the season, you know, including the first two games of the year, the preseason games, but we also like to watch, you know, some of the best teams in the world. So we're watching Red Bull Leipzig, you know, their game against Tottenham, where they played really well in that series. We also watch Liverpool. So it's been a fun time to kind of adjust and explore different ways of improving and, you know, staying sharp. And I think that the club has done a really good job to maximize this time. You know, Chris and the staff are still cutting video like crazy. They're asking us, you know, which players we prefer to watch from around the world, and they're incorporating those clips into our video sessions. So there's a lot of different ways that we're trying to stay in touch. You know, I think that social interaction is really important. So not only are we working out and staying in shape with different runs, but we're also, you know, watching a lot of video together and, you know, trying to replicate what we get at the training facility.
We're speaking with Sean Davis, the New York Red Bulls midfielder and captain. And I know that sounds like a lot that you're doing every day to really keep in touch. Is there like a best buddy you have on the team that you're especially, you know, touching base with during this difficult time?
Yeah, so it's funny you ask. We, you know, I touched on this a little bit during the virtual tour of my apartment, but one of the things that I look forward to most during the day is just playing video games. And, you know, that's not something that we did much in the past, but it's been great for us because, you know, I log on with Tim Parker, Aaron Long, Alex Mule, and, you know, we're able to just catch up and update each other. And again, get that social interaction that we miss most from, you know, training. And, you know, we miss out on those meals that we love and the locker room banter. And so when we're able to log on and play video games, that gives us a chance to catch up. And so, you know, those guys I've been in close touch with. But also, you know, Danny Royer, Mark Schakowsky, who also live in my building. And so, you know, we're used to carpooling together, but now we stay in touch, you know, over phone calls and FaceTimes. But another thing that we like to do as a team, something that we've been trying to do, is we split up into groups, random groups of three, and every Friday we log on for, you know, coffee chats or dinner chats, and we're able to just catch up with all the different guys. And so last week, as an example, I was able to talk to Manny and Jason, you know, two of the international guys that are in the U.S. for only a short period of time. And, you know, we were just catching up about things, how they're adjusting, if they're doing okay on their own, because I think it's really important to put ourselves in the shoes of other guys, you know, these international guys that are a little bit younger that are here on their own and, you know, in isolation. And I think that that's been really worthwhile. And it's always great to have those chats with the guys and, you know, better understand not only how they're doing right now, but get to know them and their journeys and, you know, how they ended up at Red Bull and their prior experiences in this example, you know, Manny in Germany and Jason in France. So we've all been trying to stay in touch, trying to stay connected. I think that we don't know how long this is going to last, but it's really important to stay in touch with the group, keep that team camaraderie going, that team chemistry that we value so much.
We're going to talk about your amazing career in a moment, but I do want to touch upon the fact that you mentioned dinner. I know you like to cook.
Yeah.
What are you cooking?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of cooking, you know, and nutrition. And I think over the years, you know, my first couple of years in the league, I actually lived in my friend's family's basement in Kinnelon, New Jersey. And, you know, I was spoiled. And back then I would get every meal cooked for me. It was a treat. And eventually I had to move out, you know, I had to leave the nest. And so I moved to Jersey City, and My first year, to be honest, I ate out way too much, and I didn't take enough responsibility for my nutrition and cooking. And since then, I've gotten really into it, and I think that that's another area, where you can get an edge. And so going into this quarantine or this stay-at-home order, I've been prepared for this moment. And so I actually live with my girlfriend, and my girlfriend and I, we went to Costco, loaded up on a lot of frozen foods, a lot of stuff that could last us a while. And so, we've been able to cook a variety of things. I really like seafood, so we'll do sockeye salmon, we'll do cod, we'll do tuna, we'll do scallops. We'll try to find fish that have low mercury levels. I think that that's important to keep in mind. But then outside of that, organic frozen chicken. We do grass-fed, grass-finished burgers from Costco, which we really enjoy. We'll do veggie burgers. So we kind of go all over the spectrum. We have an Instant Pot, which you might have heard about on the tour, where that helps us get a little more creative with the dishes. And I'm not the best cook, I'll admit that, but this allows us to follow simple YouTube recipes and get a little more creative. So, we're kind of all over the spectrum. We love everything. We love new recipes. If fans are listening to this, and they love cooking, I'd love to, learn more and continue to grow as a chef. So if they have recipes, I'm more than open to hearing that. But I think nutrition is such an important part of, not only my life, but everyone's life. It's a really good time to educate yourself on different foods, different recipes, different ingredients, and try to live as healthy as possible. And especially in my line of work, it can provide a good amount of difference. And who knows? You never want to look back and say you wish you could have done more. And I think that this has been a really important avenue to explore for me. And I'm learning every single day, so it's been fun. I look forward to cooking dinner every single night, and again, that's part of my routine.
Is the average soccer player the most conditioned athlete in the world?
I think it's hard to say. I think even talking to friends that don't play soccer, friends from school, when they play pickup soccer, they can't believe how much running they have to do. And not only that, but you have to run, and you also have to stay sharp technically, and you're also working your brain. So it's a very challenging sport, but that's not to take away from some other sports. One that I really appreciate is hockey. They do have a lot of line shifts, but it's a very physical sport, a very aggressive sport, and they play several times a week. So it's hard to pick one sport, but I think as people continue to open their mind about the game, play some pickup, they can better understand how challenging it really is. But at this point in my life, I'm used to it, and staying in shape has been really important throughout this challenging time.
A lot of people have been picking their best lists when they talk on social media these days. It doesn't matter what format. So I'm going to ask you maybe just to pick two of your favorite books because you like to read, maybe
Okay.
sports books, and two of your favorite sports movies that you like to
Okay.
watch.
Yeah, nice. You're putting me on the spot here. So one of the books that I really enjoy, and it's become more and more relevant now, is The Captain Class, and that's by Sam Walker, I believe. Yeah, Sam Walker. And I love that book because it talks a lot about great teams and dynasties, more specifically, and what the common theme is throughout all those dynasties is that they have a captain that's a little more defensive minded. He's not a captain that's really stealing all the headlines with goals, assists, touchdowns, but instead, they're able to lead the team in a different way. And one of the examples is Carlos Puyol. And so I think that that's really fitting for me. It gives me a lot of hope and confidence that, I can be a great captain, despite not, showing up on the stat sheet week in, week out. So I really enjoyed that book, and I'll flip through it from time to time for inspiration. But another book that I'm reading now is Lonesome Dove, and that's a book that I've come to really enjoy. It was recommended to me by the older demographic, including my parents. But I'm really enjoying that book, and one day I want to be able to watch the movie, which I've heard good things about. But going into sports movies, that's a great question as well. The first two that stick out in my mind are actually Miracle and Mighty Ducks, two hockey movies. I'm bringing up hockey a lot. I think those are great But you know, I don't know if this is a fair answer, but I do also like some of the documentaries that they have on you know, Amazon Prime as well as Netflix. And you know, Last Chance U is a show about kids that go to community college for football, you know, top players that are trying to kind of resurrect their career and get back on the right track. I've really enjoyed that. You know, and then there's a lot of different shows that go into behind the scenes footage of teams. And so I know every NFL season that comes around, I really like to watch Hard Knocks, you know, again, to get that insight into their locker room, you know, what their top players are doing, because NFL is the best league in the world for their sport, obviously. And so to watch how the top players, you know, prepare behind the scenes is something that I really like to watch, you know, see if I can pick up any tips, learn anything, learn more about their mentality. I think that that's been really fun. So I know that's a long-winded answer, but you know, I do love sports. I love watching it on TV. I love reading about it. You know, I love articles that are sent my way, you know, about inspirational players like Jordan Henderson this last year, who had a really successful campaign in their lead up to the Champions League run. So, you know, I could talk all day about sports, but again, I know that's a long answer. Hopefully, that answers it.
No, it's great, Sean. We're speaking with Sean Davis of the Red Bulls. You know, you mentioned right off the bat Miracle and Coach Herb Brooks. They celebrated, of course, Coach has since passed, but they celebrated the 40th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. Do you use his speech from going out before they went on to take on the Russians in 1984? Do you take anything from that?
You know, it's funny you ask, and you know, people haven't really asked me about that. Maybe they will in the future, but I do love speeches and I love inspirational speeches, and you know, that's certainly one of them. And you know, now that you brought that up, you know, another one that I really like is actually Man in the Arena. That's not what the name of the speech is, I believe, but it's become really popular. It's by Teddy Roosevelt. And you know, that's something that I really enjoy reading as well. You know, especially going through tough moments, going through adversity. You know, I always go back and I'll read that excerpt of the speech, and you know, it always helps me refocus, puts everything in perspective. And so, you know, I love quotes, I love literature, I love speeches. You know, whether that's on YouTube, SoundCloud, reading it, watching it in films like Miracle. But I think, again, any edge you can take, any way you can inspire yourself and your teammates, you know, could make the difference between winning and losing.
As people listen to Sean Davis here on Sports Jam, they're saying, ah, no wonder he went to Duke University. This guy knows his stuff. Not only a four-year standout on the pitch, but also a great student. Two-time captain, appeared in 65 games, started in 63. Two-time All-ACC second team, 2014 All-ACC first team. Best memory about Duke University?
Whew, yeah, that's a really tough one. I would say, you know, my best soccer moment was against UNC my senior year. And to give you a little more color on the whole situation, going into my senior year, you know, I was feeling more comfortable because I felt like I had a good chance of, you know, going pro. Just because that summer, you know, I worked closely with the Red Bull First team. I also went and trained abroad. In Sweden and Spain. And so I was really exploring my options, but I had a really good relationship with Mike Pecky at the time, and I had a great time training with the first team, and that gave me a lot of confidence going into my senior year. You know, I put a lot of pressure on myself, you know, not only then, but now. Sometimes it's hard to even enjoy it because, you know, you want to do so well, you want the team to do well. And I remember feeling that way a lot for my time at Duke. But heading into that senior year, I felt a little bit better about things, you know, a little bit, more sure about my future. And senior year was challenging at times, but I remember some specific moments. And one of the best moments was playing UNC at home. You know, I loved playing UNC. It was actually a school that I almost committed to before Duke. Duke called me at the last second, asked me to go on a visit, and my mom was like, "You cannot turn that down." So I ended up going to Duke, and you know, I'm really happy for that decision. But fast forward 4 years, and you know, I'm playing UNC at home. Probably the last time I'm going to play UNC, and we hadn't beaten them for a long time. And so, you know, we're playing them at home. We're losing 1-0, and then I think around the 75th or 80th minute, we get a free kick at the top of the box. And, you know, Red Bull fans might not know this, but, you know, I was pretty good at free kicks in college, and I was able to score a free kick to tie the game 1-1. And then a little bit later, I was able to have an assist for us to win 2-1 at home, which was really special. My family was down there for the game as well. And so that was probably my favorite, you know, sport moment. But I was really lucky. You know, I had a great group of friends there that weren't necessarily the best soccer players, but they were just great people, great students. And so they were able to push me in the classroom as well. And, you know, I'm really grateful for that experience. You know, on one hand, I wish I was pro at a really young age, like some of these guys, you know, 16, 17, 18. It's really exciting for them. But at the same time, I felt like I wasn't ready at that point. And it was really important for me to go to school, get my degree, grow as a person, as a player, you know, get some of that leadership under my belt at that level. And, you know, for me, it was the right path. So I'm really thankful for that time in my life.
Three-time ACC Academic Honor Roll. Should student athletes be paid?
Yeah, that's a tough question. You know, I would say that for soccer, for non-revenue generating sports, it's a little more difficult. You know, I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship, and I think that that was more than enough. In my standpoint, it's hard for me to say for football players. You know, I think that they bring in a lot of money for the school. They do a lot for school. And, you know, I'd like to see some of those revenue generating sports, those players get paid. I know that might be a little controversial for the non-revenue generating sports athletes, but, you know, I do think it's a step in the right direction to start with those players. But I do know at the same time, you know, especially at Duke, you know, that's a school I'm most familiar with. The student athletes get treated really well, you know, from a nutritional standpoint, from an academic standpoint, in the sense of getting tutors and getting a lot of help in that regard. So, you know, I would like to see revenue generating sports pay the players. I think that that would be a great first step.
Sean Davis was born in Long Branch, but grew up in Homedale, and he attended Homedale High School through his freshman year. Was it tough leaving after your freshman year? You know, you have friends, or were you able to keep in contact with them?
Yeah, that was a really exciting moment in my life. And again, to give you a little bit more background, when I was in middle school, you know, I told my dad, "Dad, I really want to go to residency. I'd love to go there. Just watch, I'll do it." And so I trained a lot when I was in middle school, despite having to play up in age group to get into residency. You know, my dad was really proud. And I know if you talk to him today, you know, he'll tell you that that was a really cool moment for both him and I. You know, setting a goal and being able to reach it at that age was definitely an exciting moment. But again, I did have to make a sacrifice, and that was leaving behind the normal high school life. And you know, I think that that was important for me to go away from home, live on my own, grow up a little bit. But I was able to stay in touch with friends. I didn't have the newest, latest iPhone that, you know, we have today, but I was able to stay in touch with friends. And it was always great to come back home and, you know, reconnect. But I was also able to make really important friendships when I was down at residency. And some of my best friends from residency play in MLS now. And, you know, those are guys like Juan Agudelo, Mikey Ambrose, Jordan McCrary, he plays in USL now. But those were really important years of my life. And, you know, I was able to come back my senior year, and, you know, I grew a lot as a person. And, you know, I kind of got the best of both worlds. I got the normal high school experience in Homedale, but I also got the residency experience down in Florida. So that's a time I'm really thankful for. And, you know, I grew up a lot through those different experiences.
And you grew up through the youth clubs, including the Homedale Bulldogs. Eventually, you would become a part of the Red Bulls camp. And nothing better than seeing homegrown player on your stat sheet, right?
Yeah, you know, it was really exciting. You know, I talked about Pecky and how he brought me into the first team, and I'm really thankful for that. But also at that time, I was a little unsure how things would play out. On one hand, Red Bull wasn't playing a lot of younger players at the time. But fortunately, they shifted the philosophy that year I came in. In saying that, you know, then Pecky unfortunately left the team, and I was unsure, you know, again, how things, there was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknowns. And then we drafted a few center midfielders like my good friend Leo Stoltz, who was a Mac Herman winner. And I thought, man, I'm not really sure where I fit in. But then, you know, working under Jesse is, you know, it was one of the best things that could have happened to me. And he's a, you know, a life coach for me, and we stay in touch till this day. And so I'm really thankful for that. And, you know, he was able to incorporate a lot of young players. He believed in young players. They developed the Red Bull 2 team. You know, John Walniak has been great. Ibra Sagaya has been great. And so, you know, I couldn't be happier with how things played out. The timing couldn't have been better. And, you know, every day I'm grateful for the journey that I've had and the support that I've gotten from the club. And, you know, to be able to see other homegrown players have success, to step on the field with local guys, you know, not only quote unquote homegrown players, but local guys is really exciting. And I think that that's what makes Red Bull so special and something that I know the players really appreciate. And, you know, I think the fans do as well.
You're listening to Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle, and my guest is New York Red Bulls midfielder and captain Sean Davis, who is now dealing with the coronavirus pandemic and having to stay in his Jersey City apartment. The Red Bulls got off to a 1-1 start when the league was suspended because of the crisis.
Young players not afraid to try things, to try and make it a third, and they do. And it comes from the four-year man from Duke, Sean Davis.
I was aggressive. Made a run into the box, was at the penalty spot, I think. The ball fell right to me. I was lucky, and I finished with my right foot. Nothing more really to that one. And then similar on the second one. I was just aggressive, made runs into the box like they tell me to do, and found the ball on my left foot. So right place at the right time.
Two big milestones for Sean Davis in the MLS. It was on April 17th of 2015 and August 7th of 2016. Which one of those dates means more to you?
It's hard to say. You know, I think 2015 was really important for me. I think that was a year that I felt like I finally became a professional soccer player. And, you know, I was finally, contributing to the club in a big way. And so when I step on the field for the first time in 2015 and I'm able to, you know, make a difference and, you know, that was the year that we won Supporter Shield. So to look back on that and, you know, contribute is something that I'll always be grateful for. And, you know, I'll always remember my debut. I'll always remember my first minutes and my first starts throughout that year. So, you know, if I had to pick one, I'd go with that.
And that was his debut against San Jose, 4-17 of 2015. And his first goal in the Major League Soccer League happened against the LA Galaxy on August 7th of 2016.
Right. Yeah, and sorry to cut you off there. Just to give a little story about August 7th, that day I scored my first MLS goal against Galaxy. You know, I remember being so nervous before that start, and it was a big game, you know, on the road. Unfortunately, Dax had just gotten hurt. He's such a big part of this. He was such a big part of this team and this club. And so to step in and, you know, have that game and score my first goal against, you know, my idol growing up, Steven Gerrard, was a really cool moment for me as well. But again, if I had to pick between the two, I'd take my debut.
Next to last question. You have to run out because you just heard that the season is starting again. And you only have an opportunity to grab one pair of shoes from your sneaker and shoe collection in your place. Which pair of shoes are you grabbing and why?
Yeah, so as people may or may not know, I'm an Adidas athlete, and I'm really grateful for their partnership over the years. If I had to grab one shoe, though, I would grab an Adidas Ultra Boost. That shoe is just so versatile. You know, you can wear it working out. You can wear it if you're going out to dinner. They're so comfortable. So if I had to choose one, I think it would be an Adidas Ultra Boost. If I had to be more specific, I would go with the all black pair. Again, it's hard to tell if those are dirty or not. So they're very practical, very comfortable, and probably one of my favorite shoes.
So I want to go into your place for just a moment. A conversation that you and your girlfriend have had, either an emotional one or a serious one or one that really has touched you as we go through this unbelievable crisis. What are the two of you talking about that you want to share with us?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of different conversations that we have. You know, we want to be sensitive to how we're both feeling. Obviously, that's important. But I think that the conversation we always go back to is our families. And, you know, my girlfriend, she has grandparents that live in New Jersey. Her grandparents are a little bit older, so they're not able to get all the things done around the house that we all have a luxury to do. And, you know, simple things like getting groceries and different obstacles like that are a little more difficult for them. And so I think staying in touch with them has been really important. And, you know, on my side, taking care of my parents and, you know, our loved ones are who we live for, you know, and that's probably my favorite thing about playing for Red Bulls is being able to share those moments with my parents. So I think our conversations about our loved ones and protecting them and trying to make sure that they stay safe as possible, I think that those are the most important conversations that we've had lately.
We can reach you on Twitter. Tell us about your middle name.
Akira, yes. So my mom is 100% Japanese. I'm half Japanese. And for all my siblings, we all have Japanese middle names. Mine's Akira. My brother's is Seiji. Akira in Japanese, it means like intelligent boy. That's what I always tell people. It's also the name of a really popular Japanese movie, Akira, which kind of revolutionized animation movies and shows, and has a really important part to play in the culture of animation around the world. So I personally love it, you know, and, you know, it's something that I've really grown over the years. And I, you know, I love when I hear fans recognize it and appreciate it. So it's pretty cool. It's a nice touch to my heritage. And, you know, I'm really happy that I was given that name.
And so you can follow him on Twitter at Sean Akira Davis. Packing in quite a mind and quite a heart into a 6-foot, 165-pound frame, Sean Davis, the captain and midfielder of the New York Red Bulls. Well, we hope to see you back on the pitch really soon. But for now, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Jam. We appreciate your time.
Doug, thank you so much again for having me. You know, I really appreciate your support, your attention to detail. And again, if people want to reach me, I'm on social media a lot these days. So thank you again, Doug, and wishing you all the best. Stay safe, stay healthy.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all the podcasts by going to WBGO.org/Sports Jam or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts. Until our next Sports Jam session, I will see you soon, hopefully, at the game.